Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Caravan Podcast, a show about Pakistan's startup ecosystem where we have intimate conversations with founders and investors driven to catapult Pakistan into the digital age. We'll discuss what it's really like to start a business, the highs and the lows, the setbacks, the comebacks, the lessons, everything. I'm your host, as always, Ahmad Mia, partner at Caravan, a community-driven venture capital platform. Now, given the nascent ecosystem, there's a massive spread between the talent in the country and the resources that are available to support them. Our mission at Caravan is to close that gap by providing both capital and expertise at the earliest of stages. You can find more information about Caravan at www.caravan.vc. In this episode of the Caravan Podcast, I get to sit down with Usama, the founder of Shopsy.pk, a search engine that helps online shoppers find the best price for any product all over Pakistan. So let's get straight to Usama.
All right. So thank you so much for having me on today. And I think I'll start from, you know, when I graduated from university, because that's really when my entrepreneurial journey started, you know, in 2008. That's when it really started taking off. So I graduated in 2008 and I got my first job. And after a year of working, I realized that this really wasn't for me. You know, working 9 to 5 just didn't suit what I wanted to achieve in my life or with my career. And I ended up sticking it out for about 2 years. And in 2010, I decided that it was time to start my own venture. And that was something that I was really interested in doing. So I at the time, I was in the United Kingdom, and I flew back to Pakistan, and I started working in our family business here, which is by the name of Gallery 6. It's an art gallery in Pakistan. So I thought I'd start working there. And in the meantime, I'll start working on my own ideas alongside, right? So in 2010, I started working in Gallery 6. And alongside, I was thinking of different venture ideas. So I thought of an idea to build a global marketplace for art, a marketplace where artists from all over the world could sell their artwork on the platform to collectors anywhere in the world, right? So I started working on that. And at that time, I had no experience of e-commerce or starting companies or really being a founder. So this was my first venture. And I started working and developing this technology. After a year of working on this, I realized that the thing that we had built was absolute rubbish. And the company that had been outsourced this project just didn't do a very good job at it, right? So I started again building this the startup from scratch, eventually launched it, went back to the UK to launch it. And I worked on that startup for about 3 years, growing it. It eventually went on to become a great marketplace where we had artists from over 60 countries selling, you know, 5,000 artworks to collectors worldwide. And eventually I sold that company off to a competitor based out of Kuwait. And then I went on to build my other venture, which was by the name of SolarLinker. It was a price comparison platform for solar installations in the UK. So I had solar panel installers across the UK providing quotations to customers and price comparison to customers, consumers in the UK for solar installation projects. So I did that for about, you know, a year or two. Eventually, I ended up closing that business and returned back to Pakistan because the UK government by that time had killed off solar subsidies in the UK. So I returned back to Pakistan and I was thinking of different venture ideas to launch in Pakistan. And at that time, I realized that e-commerce in Pakistan lacked the great user experience that I was used to in the UK of purchasing from e-commerce companies like Amazon and other great players there. And the problem with Pakistan at the time was that inventory and these online stores had very small inventories. So there wasn't a great selection of products. And also, you weren't sure whether you would receive the product, what condition would it be in, would it be authentic, when would you receive it. So there are all these sort of challenges associated with e-commerce in Pakistan. Yeah. So I thought of an idea to launch a shopping search engine, which would essentially aggregate the inventories of all of these online stores in Pakistan and provide customers with better product selection and also the ability to compare prices and save money, see where they can find the best deal for a certain product. So that's how the journey of Shopsy started. You know, it was out of my own need to find a better shopping solution.
There's a couple of things in that journey that you said that for me are very interesting, right? Like initially understanding failure and seeing that this project we've built so much time and so much money, we're not going to get anywhere. Being able to take the bullet and saying that no, isko side pe rakho, let me pivot, let me come back and let me develop this again. I think that's like such an important lesson. And sometimes we get in this phase ke jahan pe we get invested, right? Ke this is something that we worked so hard on and we want to kind of continue on this. And we go further than we're meant to sometimes. And I think that's very important. And it was very interesting to kind of hear you do that very early on in your journey.
So, I mean, regarding SolarLinker, what happened was that I'll tell you a bit more about the platforms because it was working pretty well at the time. So UK consumers would on average earn 18,000 pounds over 20 years by installing solar panels on their rooftops, right? And this was because the UK government had this tariff scheme where you could sell the power, the extra power that you generated back to the grid system.
Yeah.
That's what made you money and it made solar panels feasible, right? So what we would do is that we would have all of these solar panel installers providing quotations to consumers, price comparisons to consumers in England. So the consumers would come on the platform, they would put in their postcode, we would do a radius search, show them all of the options available, and then they would select three installers and get a price comparison between them, right? And then these installers would go out and install the system in their households or their workplaces. And that's that. And essentially, the platform was free for consumers, but it was we would charge leads, per lead to the solar panel installers, and it was around, 30 to 40 pounds per lead. So, on a single request, customer request, we would make around 120 pounds. Which was great money because if you're getting tons of leads every day, then you're making tons of money, right?
Yeah.
So the platform was working really well.
How did you justify to yourself taking the risk of leaving this platform? Like, let's say from going from the platform for art that you had built, this e-commerce platform for the art that you were selling globally. How did you justify the risk of selling that and going into something like solar? And then going from solar to going back into e-commerce, how do you justify the risk each time? And then I'd also be curious as to how do you look at getting your first 1,000, first 100 customers?
Hmm. So that's
especially
a good
in something
question,
like e-commerce.
So the first platform, the art marketplace, which is called Artworka, I built that for 3 years. And what happened with that was that I made the mistake of going global very quickly. And the advantage of going global is that you get these tons of artists from lots of different countries selling art to lots of different buyers everywhere in the world. So you're not restricted by boundaries, right? But when you go global very quickly, you need a lot of capital in order to inject into marketing. Because now you're not trying to reach a local audience, which is easier to build, but you're targeting a global audience, which requires large sums of money, right? And I didn't actually raise any money for that business. So it was completely bootstrapped till the end. And in order to scale it globally, I would have had to raise, millions and millions of dollars. And at that time, I received an offer from a competitor that was based in Kuwait. That was a decent offer. And I thought I would take it. So at that time, it seemed like the right decision to me to move on from essentially the strategic mistake that I had made. And pass on the platform to someone else who could run with it, who had the capital to keep going. And that's how I switched into SolarLinker. So Artorca was doing well at the time, but due to this mistake, this strategy, I decided to move on and pass it on to someone else. So with SolarLinker, the way it came about was that solar was really taking off in the UK at the time. And, you know, the UK had become one of the largest markets for solar in Europe. And the way I started off with it was that I built the entire platform myself. So I didn't have any development team. By this time, I had learned how to do things myself and not spend a tremendous amount of money, you know, because in Artorca, in my first platform, I had probably invested $30,000 of my own money into the platform to develop it, to market it, right? And SolarLinker, it probably cost me, I think, maybe £500 to £1,000 just to get started, to develop it myself and to start marketing it. And the way I onboarded solar panel installers was to essentially contact lots of these different solar panel installers. I just cold called them. I made hundreds of calls a day. I brought them on board the platform. There was a database of MCS, sort of accredited solar installers, panel installers in the UK. So I started calling them up. I started understanding the problems. How did they onboard customers? Would they benefit from such a platform? And after that, I started building this platform, onboarded them, and then it was basically bringing consumers on board. So then you start writing interesting content, how people can save money, how people can earn money using this, installing solar panels on their households. So you reach out to people through social channels and blogs and other, you know, et cetera, forums. So that's how we were building our demand on the platform. And now that I had supply and demand, I was able to generate leads for these installers and give consumers price comparisons for their installation in their households. So that's how we got started with SolarLinker, you know. And then eventually, when this happened, I realized that this demand for solar installations is drying up. And by that time, I had also wanted to move away from the UK and come back to Pakistan because I always felt like I would like to settle long term in Pakistan. So I turned back and I had to say goodbye to my platform.
And tell us a little bit about the journey with Shopsy so far, the achievements that you've had, the KPIs that you're looking at.
So Shopsy has been the most difficult product to build, you know, for me to date, because my previous businesses were essentially built on more conventional technologies, something that you could maybe build on top of other solutions out there, or you could just buy things off the shelf and build on top of them. With Shopsy has been built completely from scratch, absolutely custom built, because there are no products out there that you could build on top of very quickly. And it's also a very difficult product to build. So search is generally very difficult to build because there's so many different ways people search things online, and just understanding what they're looking for and providing that to them. And they also have certain expectations from search because everybody uses Google, everybody uses YouTube. So they're used to very good search. Now, if you want to build an audience on such a platform, you have to provide a user experience that sort of matches, rivals these search technologies out there, right? So Shopsy, because of that, has been a very, very difficult product to build just because of its search technology. And also because we were building this completely bootstrapped. We were building this part-time alongside having full-time jobs. So it was, you know, the first few years were quite difficult and just building out the foundations of Shopsy, right? And then everything becomes easier once you raise money. So in 2019, we ended up raising a large seed round to really work on Shopsy full time. And it had taken me ages to raise this money because at that time there was, you know, severe lack of capital in the country for startups. So it's very, very difficult to raise money, you know, a couple of years back. And once we raised money, then we were able to work on this full time. I was able to, you know, hire great people, bring on some new co-founders that had expertise in product. And since then, we've really just, it's just fueled our growth since then. So it's been about a year since we switched to Shopsy full time. And now we're seeing some great numbers. So just to give you an idea that, you know, about a year back, we were at almost, let's say, 5,000 monthly users. So nothing, essentially, right? Because we had been building our product, we hadn't really worked on the marketing side yet.
Yeah.
But in a year, we've now scaled, we actually scaled to 500,000 users.
Amazing.
In the peak of the first wave, because that's when online shopping demand was at its greatest. And since then, it's dropped slightly. So we're still at about 350,000 monthly users, and we're constantly growing.
That's awesome, yeah, to hear going that kind of growth is spectacular, yeah, to see. And I'd be curious, the lessons that you've learned in a period like the period that this year has been, right? Like where people are saying, yeah, that they've seen 5 years worth of growth in a year or 5 months because, yeah, because of the first wave and, yeah, now the second wave. Have you seen a change in behavior when it comes to e-commerce in people in Pakistan?
Yes. So I think what the pandemic did was to force people to sort of explore shopping online, right? People who weren't necessarily used to shopping online went online and they were looking for products. They had to buy products online because they were afraid to, or circumstances prevented them from visiting physical outlets, right? So what we saw, in fact, I did a study on this, and I looked at data from Google Trends on how the pandemic has affected the demand for online shopping in Pakistan. And what I found was that at the peak of the first wave, we saw a 50% increase in online searches for shopping in Pakistan, right? So a 50% increase is pretty significant. It's a significant because it happened within just literally a month, right? So that's exactly what we saw on our end. We were adding about 100,000 users a month when this happened. So we were growing extremely quickly. And fortunately, we were in this position where we were completely on the cloud and our technology is completely scalable. So we can go from, you know, hundreds of thousands of users to millions of users in an eye blink, and our technology would be perfectly fine.
I have a question. You cannot transact on Shopsy, right? Right now, you're just comparison.
Yeah, so I'll give you a little bit of a background on how Shopsy works. So Shopsy is a shopping search engine. The way it works is that users come on Shopsy and they search for a product on Shopsy or a category on Shopsy, and we show you results for those products and categories. And then when you click on a search result, you're taken to the website that's selling the item. So we're essentially a Google for shopping in Pakistan.
So you're a more structured and more focused, yeah, referral, basically.
Yes. So we're much more focused for shopping. So to give you an example, if you search for something on popular search engines, you would see results for web pages, right?
Yeah.
And you would have to click on each link to be taken to those pages. And then you would have to look at the product. You'd have to look at the price. You'd have to see whether it's in stock or not. But when you search for something on Shopsy, we show you all of the products that are available in Pakistan from over 250 websites. We will show you their price, their stock status, their image, and you can make an informed decision straight away rather than opening a ton of tabs.
Now, I have a question over here because Google, if I'm not mistaken, does that for you as well, correct?
So Google does not do that. Google Shopping does that.
Yeah, but when you search in Google, like, yeah, half the time when I search for something, the first thing that I get is shopping. Like I'm able to go on Amazon and purchase it, or I'm able to go.
Not in Pakistan.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Got it.
Not in Pakistan. Yes. So Google Shopping doesn't exist in Pakistan. Now, one would argue, well, does that not make Shopsy redundant? Because if, let's say, if Google was to come to Pakistan and launch Google Shopping in the near future, or not just Google Shopping, there's so many other products as well for you know, big giants that could come to Pakistan. The thing is that because we're such a localized, hyper-local search engine, we provide certain features for local shopping that other giants would not do, because it's just too much work for them, or it would have to be targeted to a certain country, which doesn't tie in with their global vision, their global product, right? So, for example, we actually do a check on all of the sites in our index to see whether they answer the customer services, whether they pick up the phone calls. And if we find that a store is not regularly taking phone calls or answering emails, we remove them from our index. So we now have a strict vetting process for the sites that we add to Shopsy, so that customers that search for products on Shopsy are eventually guided to a store that will fulfill their item in a timely manner, and they will provide them the genuine product, and they will be able to receive phone calls and emails from that customer, right? So we care about the entire end-to-end journey rather than just showing people what the right product is or what the best price is.
You know, what's been most interesting for me, and even looking at our own portfolio company, because we have e-commerce and we have grocery, and we've seen the way COVID has kind of taken foot on them. From my research and looking into Pakistan and the conversations that I've been having, especially this year, it's been interesting because it's a two-pronged thing here, right? In Pakistan, there one, e-commerce isn't that established. Not a lot of players are there, although that's changing on a daily basis. But then on a customer-centric side, cash on delivery is still king. And a lot of people don't want to go online because, one, the fixed mindset of only being a traditional business, those guys are coming on, but they're coming on via WhatsApp rather than building websites. They're like, nahi, mujhe WhatsApp karo, main WhatsApp dekhunga. Aur uske lihaz se, like, it's like a quick commerce kind of medley, basically what they're building, right? But then there's this other side where facilitation of e-commerce with the likes of all of these banks offering better mechanisms for digital payments I'm forgetting the name of the transaction service that these guys recently raised as well. I'm forgetting their name, but
There are lots of different wallets coming in.
There's SadaPay and there's Tags.
Oh yeah, there are a ton of them, right? There are a ton of fintech solutions coming in. There are payment gateways.
SafePay. So SafePay is what I was talking about.
SafePay is one of the payment gateways. They had some issues recently with their service provider. And then we've got certain banks that are providing their own payment solutions.
Yeah, Bank of Allah, I'm sure MCB has one.
Everybody, right?
So it's just, for me, it's been fascinating to see the evolution over the last couple of months on how people are trying to fast track their online solution, right? And what I really admire about what you said and what you're trying to implement, which is focusing on the user experience, focusing on the fact that, you know, you're double checking if people are actually answering the calls, because that is an issue, especially when it's someone coming online for the first time and opening up a website. There is a lot of, you know, wear and tear or not understanding what customer service is. Like, this is the way offline businesses work. This is how online will work as well. But there needs to be a shift in mindset in e-commerce, right? Like, you need an answer now. You need to have your information here now. You need to have the best comparison in price now.
Absolutely.
That's not necessarily the case when you're shopping offline. So that shift in mindset really requires a better user experience, a better education. So for me, just the last couple of months and looking at our portfolio companies and how they've grown has been fascinating, right? Just to kind of understand the way Pakistan is growing, because Pakistan is very backward in e-commerce, because we haven't gone on the plunge. Like, if you look at China, which is, you know, majority e-commerce, you look at the Middle East, you look at India, they're much more further ahead as markets.
Yeah, so I'll give you my sort of overview of the industry in Pakistan, you know, what I've observed. And because we work as an aggregator, we get to work with lots of different retailers, online retailers in Pakistan. So Pakistan's e-commerce is still in its very nascent stages.
Yeah.
And we've literally just started to scratch the surface of e-commerce in Pakistan. And what's going on is that when an ecosystem is nascent, you have all of these issues. So let's say online stores aren't providing great customer service. They don't have great technology. So their search solutions might not be that great. It's difficult to find products on their platforms. We might find that customers are just not educated enough on how online shopping works. And they're just learning how to buy products online. So there isn't great awareness. And then, you know, we're looking at these physical outlets that you were talking about that are thinking of maybe now going online, or they're just providing customer services, or, you know, they're selling products through WhatsApp. But this is something that every country goes through. So this is what's important to understand, that for e-commerce in Pakistan, the only direction is up. That's the only direction it's going to go. So that's the first thing to understand, because when you look at the trends for online shopping globally, e-commerce is growing everywhere, right? In every country, e-commerce is one of the biggest sort of, you could say, technology sectors, industries in everywhere, right? So the only place is up. Now, how do we get there? That's the question. I think what will happen over time is that you will see that the industry itself will take care of these quality control issues. And the players that take customer services seriously, that provide genuine services, genuine products, will rise to the top. And people that are lacking in their technology, that are lacking in their customer services, will be left behind. So this sifting process is going to take place. And it is already taking place, but it's going to continue over the next 5 years. And we are now seeing... we're now seeing, you know, platforms come up that have better technology, that are taking customer services more seriously. And we're seeing people purchase more products online. So we've now had, you know, 11/11, which is, I think, a great success. A lot of people went online to buy products. Then we've got Black Friday coming up. And these events, these major events, are also bringing awareness to people that perhaps weren't used to online shopping. And then, of course, the pandemic has significantly expedited this entire process, where people are now learning to shop online. And it's really a behavior change, you know. It's sort of like when you stopped using yellow cabs and you started using Uber. It's a behavior change, right? And I think what we'll see over time in Pakistan as well is that people will start comparing prices for things they buy offline. They'll be comparing prices for them online. They'll also be exploring different product choices online, because you physical outlets can never match the amazing choice that online has to offer, right? So this behavior change is taking place. And as you mentioned earlier, I think before perhaps when we started, 4G and 5G adoption in Pakistan is certainly taking place, right? So we're seeing significant users for 4G, 3G, and of course 5G is just going to expedite that process even faster. So more people are coming online. 80% of our users are already just mobile users. So desktop has significantly decreased. When we started in 2016, I think when we launched in October 2016, our split was about 50-50, and now we're seeing 80-20, yeah, right? So significantly more users on mobile. And we're actually going through this entire redesign process for Shopsy, which is a completely mobile-first design user interface for our users because of this reason. So everything is changing, and it is going to continue to change. And the way we see ourselves is essentially a partner to all of these online stores in Pakistan, because that's what we help them do. We help them drive revenue, increase their revenue, increase their traffic, sales, customer base. And we look at them as partners to online shopping. You know, and we're constantly also advising stores on improving their processes.
That's a question. Actually, it's perfect the way where you got this. Yeah. Actually, I have a question over there. Have you seen a difference in trying to convince people of what you're doing? Like, has it become easier to get people on your platform to come online and sell online, or to get more people to sell online?
Yes. So what we're seeing now is that a lot of these physical outlets, that major physical outlets, you know, that are prominent physical outlets and cities reach out to us because they're digitizing their stores now. And they're going online because the pandemic has now forced them to go online, right? So these guys are working on their online solutions, but they don't have a huge customer base online because they haven't had the chance or the opportunity to spend in their online marketing. They haven't.
लेकिन इधर इधर एक और चीज है कि I see this mindset, right? कि जो traditional businesses की होती है कि हम बस online आ गए हैं तो लोग भी आ जाएंगे. And it just doesn't work like that, right?
हाँ. You know, it depends on the player, but jo bade players hain, I think they have an understanding ki isko time lagta hai build karne mein, you know, customer base. And that's where we come in. Hum ye jo physical outlets hain jo digitize kar rahe hain apne aap ko, humko ye ability dete hain ki ye apni customer base ko jaldi se ramp up
bada sake. Yeah, for sure. Osama, yeah, last question for you. If you could describe three of the most important lessons that you've learned in your journey so far.
So number one would be consistency, you know, consistency in your day to day, you know, building a startup takes a long time and you just have to be very consistent, day in, day out. You have to be consistent in your thinking, in your vision, in your performance. So don't be impatient when you're building your company, when you're building your startup. It's going to take some time and you have to be consistent. The second would be perseverance because, you know, giving up, you lose the day you give up. So you have to persevere. It takes time. It takes grit to really build this. It takes a number of years to build a successful company, right? So, and I think the third most important thing would be to do something that you love, because it's so much easier and so much more fun to do something that, that you love doing, because, you know, giving up then is not an option when you're building something that you love, and versus when you're building something you don't love, it's so much easier to just give up. And I think if people stick to these sort of three things, it makes the entire startup journey so much more easier and so much more enjoyable.
Thank you so much for listening. If you guys have any comments, your feedback, please do send them my way. Mera direct email address hai amad@caravan.vc. Warna aap hamare bare mein aur information hasil kar sakte hain on our website, which is www.caravan.vc, or on Instagram. Our handle is @caravan.vc. Until next time, khuda hafiz.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.